Good morning, everyone. Who is the most famous person you have ever seen? For me, it would have to be Barack Obama. I was in my third year at university, studying at St. Andrews. Beth was in her final year. We weren't married at this point. And she saw on Facebook that Barack Obama was playing at the golf course. So we got our stuff together. We bought a wee meal deal at Tesco. We found our friend Cam on the street heading our way, and we made our way down to the golf course. And the whole time I was getting such FOMO. I kept thinking, we're gonna miss him. Surely we're gonna miss him. There's no way we're gonna see him. He'll finish the golf course much quicker than anybody else could, or he'll disperse the crowd. I just didn't quite think it was going to happen. But sure enough, we came around the corner on the path and there was a small crowd, and on the green was Barack Obama. We heard the reports, we sought him out, and we found him. Thomas's response to the reports of Jesus being raised from the dead were very different. It's Easter Sunday. The disciples have just seen Jesus. And they rushed to tell Thomas, who wasn't with them, saying, "We have seen the Lord." They are full of joy and excitement. But Thomas's response must have just shot them down completely. Because he says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." The disciples are full of joy, and Thomas just shoots their joy down. Think of how that response must have been for the disciples. Remember that Thomas and the disciples have been walking together with Jesus for 3 years at this point. They must have gone through so much together. They must have learned to really trust one another. And yet when the disciples come and tell Thomas of this incredible news that Jesus has been raised from the dead, Thomas's response is, "I don't trust you. I don't believe the story that you're telling me. I have to see it for myself. I have to experience what you have experienced." Thomas cuts himself off from the joy that the disciples are experiencing. He is totally isolated. He's not isolated in a physical sense, not the kind of physical isolation that we're experiencing right now. He's with the disciples after this. Yet he's isolated from them in their joy. Have you ever had that kind of experience, where others have shared in some incredible experience and they can't stop talking about it, and you just weren't there? Maybe a family holiday that you didn't go on. Maybe a school trip that you weren't part of. Maybe a friend's birthday that you didn't get invited to. You are not sharing in their joy. You feel isolated and cut off. Thomas feels that, but to a whole new level. The one that he has been following for 3 years has been killed on a cross. And while his friends have all seen him raised, Thomas is just unconvinced. For him, the story is over. Jesus is dead. Thomas has lost his faith. And where do we turn when our faith is broken? Where do we turn when our faith is gone? As we read on, we discover that it's a whole week that Thomas experiences this kind of stewing and doubt and uncertainty, not knowing whether these reports are true or not. And then Jesus does something remarkable. In verse 26, "Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" Jesus, if we remember, is giving them the exact same entrance that he has done previously in verses 19. He's just appeared to his disciples there in a locked room and said, "Peace be with you." And in the same way, he says to the disciples, "Peace be with you." But this time, Thomas is in the room. And Jesus is not finished with Thomas. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out and put your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe." The disciples are transfixed. There must have been such a stillness in that room as they watched this remarkable event happen, thinking, "What will Thomas do next?" And Thomas responds, without a hint of skepticism, "My Lord and my God." Thomas confesses Jesus' lordship and confesses that Jesus is God. He not only believes that Jesus has been risen from the dead, he believes what Jesus' resurrection was pointing to, that Jesus is Lord of his life and that Jesus is God. Thomas's faith is utterly restored. The story of the restoration of Thomas's faith comes in the midst of multiple stories where Jesus, after his resurrection, meets with individuals and restores them. With Mary, Jesus comes to her and restores her from her grief and gives her joy. With the disciples, Jesus comes to them and restores them from their fear and gives them peace. With Thomas, Jesus comes to him and restores him from his doubt and gives him faith. Jesus enables the pouring out of faith in Thomas's life. He restores Thomas's faith. Jesus didn't have to do any of this. He says in verse 29, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." It should be enough for Thomas to hear the testimony of the other disciples and to believe what he has not seen, to believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. John even says, "I've written these things so that others may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, so that you, reading this, may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John, Jesus here, recognizing that not everyone will get to see the risen Jesus. We today have to believe in the eyewitness testimony about who Jesus is, who he claims to be, and what he has done. Yet Thomas makes this request and Jesus takes him at his word. Think back to that story that I shared about Barack Obama. Now imagine that you are sitting in St. Andrews on that same day, sitting in a cafe, and you've read on the news that Barack Obama is in town. But you say to yourself, "I'll believe it when I see it." You go back to the news, you're scrolling on your phone, and then you hear, well, you don't hear anything. The cafe that you're sitting in has gone completely still. You look up and you see what everyone is looking at. Barack Obama has walked into the cafe. Well, maybe he's just getting a coffee. No. He looks at you and he walks straight towards you. He puts out his hand and he says, "Hi, I'm Barack Obama. I've heard you didn't believe that I was here today, so I've come to see you." Now, I know what you're thinking. That would never happen to me. Barack Obama would never take time out of his schedule to come and see me. Well, now you're starting to picture how it must have felt to be in Thomas's shoes at this point. Because Jesus is not just a famous figure like Barack Obama. Jesus is the author of life, the one who has created all things, who steps down into his creation, who walks the path of suffering to the cross in order to pay for our sins, who is raised to life to promise new life to those who would believe in him. It is this very Jesus that stands before Thomas and removes the barriers between him and having faith in Jesus. Jesus, in his grace, in his mercy, in his love, meets Thomas where he is individually, meets him in his doubt, in his uncertainty, and Jesus gives him faith. Jesus enables a pouring out of faith in Thomas's life. The story of Thomas teaches us that when we have doubts, when we are uncertain, when we cannot see God at a time such as this, a time when we don't know what the next week or the next month will look like, let alone the next 6 months, year ahead, we need to look to Jesus to restore our faith. When our faith is gone, we turn to him. We turn to his word. We turn to what his followers have written about who he is, the claims that he made, and the things that he has done to prove that he is who he said he is. The story of Thomas tells us that Jesus restores our faith. But the story of Thomas does not end after his confession. "My Lord and my God," he says, and he goes on, having experienced the restoration of his faith, the restoration of his relationship with the disciples, and the restoration of his relationship with Jesus. Thomas goes on to share the gospel, to share the word of who Jesus is and what he has done as far as India, where he gives his life for the sake of the gospel. Because Thomas and the other disciples recognized that those who have seen the risen Jesus have a responsibility to share what he has done with those who have not seen. And in the same way, for those of us maybe who are strengthened in our faith at this time, for those of us for whom coronavirus has actually shown us that God is greater than anything on this earth, for those of us who have a stronger faith than ever in the midst of this time and are seeing God at work, it is our responsibility to go out and to share that hope, to share that faith with those who are struggling with faith and with those who have no faith at all. For us as a church, this looks like a volunteer scheme where we are seeking to offer practical support and a listening ear to the local community, over 3,000 homes in the local community, so that we can share the hope that we have in Christ. The story of Thomas tells us that Jesus restores our faith. The life of Thomas tells us that when our faith is restored, we can go and share that with others. But whether we see or do not see, the important thing is that we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, we may have life in his name. Amen.